Our Old Testament reading this morning is going to come from 1 Kings. We'll be reading from, start out reading from chapter 2 of 1 Kings, chapter 2, the 10th verse through the 12th verse, and then we will skip down to chapter 3. And we will read from verse 3 of chapter 3 through verse 14. It all begins on page 301 of your Bibles. And so at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." Our New Testament reading will come from the book of Ephesians. We'll be reading from chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians, and we'll be reading from verse 15 through verse 20. It begins on page 1069 of your Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everyone in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's the word of the Lord. Thank Yesterday, as you've already alluded to, we had our community day festival out on Clark Street. And it's always a wonderful time, but I found that part of my job for that day was to supervise the balloon bounce. it's always fun. The kids love that balloon bounce, and I kept finding myself having to tell the kids to be careful, especially the older children. They would get in there and they would not only bounce, but they would use it as an opportunity to wrestle and to, you know, jump up and down and throw themselves on the walls and all kind of things. But with some of the little kids in there, you know, it got to be a little dangerous. So I found myself again and again saying, be careful with the youngsters in there. Be careful. And that's always good advice. Be careful. I think some of the older kids got caught up, you know, they realized that the young kids were there, but they get so caught up and so preoccupied with wanting to have fun that they forget to be careful, that there are younger kids that are also participating. But that's true with all of us. We need to be reminded to be careful, especially those of us who are walking in the ways of the Lord. We are called to be careful. That's what the Apostle Paul says in our epistle reading this morning. Be careful how you live. It's a reminder to us that as the people of God, we can't just live any kind of way, but we have to be careful. We have to live carefully. Whenever I hear the word careful, what comes to mind for me is kind of being cautious, proceeding gingerly or apprehensively. But I think that what Paul means when he says to be careful is not so much about being cautious, but it's about being full of care. Be full of care. Be full of care for yourself, full of care for one another, and most importantly, be full of care for the ways of God. And so Paul says, be careful, be full of care, because that is the way of wisdom. Being full of care is the way to have a discerning mind, a listening heart to what God is doing in the world. So be careful. In our Old Testament lesson this morning, King Solomon is looking for wisdom. He's looking for a discerning mind, a listening heart. He wants wisdom, which is what any good leader should seek. Solomon has become king after his father David has passed away. He has consolidated his power, and he has gotten rid of all of his possible rivals, to include his half-brother. And now he looks over the enormity of the people of God, of Israel, and he knows that he's going to need wisdom. He knows that he's going to need to have a discerning mind, a listening heart. And so when the Lord comes to the young king in a dream and says, ask what I should give you, Solomon knows immediately what to ask for. He asks for wisdom. An understanding mind. It's a wonderful thing for a leader to ask for. To be humble enough to ask for wisdom. And so impressed is the Lord that this is what this young king asked for, that the Lord tells Solomon that not only will he give Solomon wisdom, but the Lord says, I'm going to give you even more than that. I'm not only going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you honor. I'm going to give you long life. I'm going to give you all of this because I am God, and I am a God who always gives more than what people ask for. I am a gracious and loving God, and because you ask for wisdom, I'm going to give you all of these other things as well. But it's all conditioned on an if, on a proverbial if. If, says the Lord, you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, then I will give you all of these things. But if. In other words, the Lord tells Solomon that he is going to have to be careful. He's going to have to be careful how he walks. He's going to have to be careful how he lives. He's going to have to be full of care for the ways of God. Now, according to the official propaganda version of the Solomon narrative, that's exactly what the Lord gives Solomon. Solomon, this young, pious, humble king who loves the Lord, we are told, is a wild success. He is wise beyond compare. In fact, we are told that he becomes the wisest man in the world. People from all over the world stream in to Israel just to avail themselves of his wisdom. It's the way God always intended for things to be, for people all over the world to stream into Jerusalem to learn what it means to live, to learn the ways of God, to learn what it means to have wisdom. And we are told that Solomon has that wisdom. He is wise beyond compare. And not only is he wise, but we are also told that he is rich, that Solomon becomes a man of great wealth. He has riches and wealth. You know how much we are impressed by riches and wealth. Well, Solomon has great wealth. It is out of his wealth that he is able to build a magnificent temple to the Lord, one that becomes one of the wonders of the world. And it is out of his great wealth that he is able to build himself a palace that becomes the envy of kings everywhere. He is one of the wealthiest men in the world. And while his father David was a man of war with blood on his hands, Solomon, we are told, enjoys peace all around. In fact, that's what his name means, Shalomo, Shalom, peace. He is a man of peace, and in that interim of peace, he is able to consolidate his empire. He is successful and blessed in every way. But remember, this is the highly edited official propaganda version. The text is careful also to give us another version of the Solomon narrative, one that is not nearly as celebrated. It tells us that somewhere along the way that Solomon stopped being careful. He stopped being a person who was attentive and full of care. He just stopped being careful. Stopped being full of care for the people that he was given charge over. In order to complete his elaborate building projects, we are told that he leveled oppressive taxes on the people. And not only that, but he also conscripted them for labor. That is, he made them slaves. He made his own people slaves, returned them to slavery. Remember, they had been freed by God from being slaves in Egypt. But now Solomon had made them slaves again. He stopped being full of care for himself. He allowed himself to be overcome by greed and lust. The text tells us that he had over 700 wives, 300 concubines, and that his daily rations consisted of thousands, 1,000 measure of flour and meal, 10 fat oxen, 20 pasture-fed cattle, 100 sheep, including deer, gazelle, fatted fowl, all kinds of game. That was just a daily ration. We remember in the Old Testament, Samuel telling the people of God when they come and say, we want a king. One of the things that Samuel said is that you don't want a king because this is what a king is going to do. He's going to take and he's going to take and he's going to take. And that's exactly what Solomon does. He takes and takes and takes. But he stopped being full of care for himself and allowed his lust and his greed to crowd out any concern for anyone else except himself. And most importantly, of course, he stopped being full of care for the ways of God. The text says that he sacrificed in the high places, which is just a code way for saying that he continued to worship the foreign gods. He continued to worship the gods of Astarte and Chemish and Molech and Milcom and Baal, all the foreign gods that the Lord had warned the people of Israel against. Solomon continued to worship. And of course, according to this tradition, Solomon is not wise, but he is the foolish progenitor of policies that will lead to the destruction of Israel immediately after Solomon's death. Because of the policies that he instituted, Israel would become divided and engage in a civil war. The 10 northern tribes being taken from the house of David and Solomon, leaving Solomon and David's house with only the house of Judah. But all of it because of the policies of Solomon. So which Solomon is the real Solomon? The pious young man who loves the Lord and who wants nothing more than wisdom to lead God's people rightly and justly? Or is it the cold and careless Solomon who's allowed his lust and his appetites to crowd out any attentiveness and concern for anyone or anything except himself? Would the real Solomon please stand up? I suspect that both of these depictions of Solomon are true, because Solomon, like all of us, is human with all of the complexities and paradoxes that that entails. He is blessed with wisdom, but also he is cursed with foolishness. He loves the Lord, but he doesn't love the Lord. He declares his faithfulness to the God of Israel, but yet he has a place for the idols of the world. He is committed to his intellect, yet he is shackled to his appetite. He is like each and every one of us, a bundle of paradox and complexity. But the tragedy of Solomon is that he became so preoccupied with his riches, so preoccupied with his building project, so preoccupied with his reputation, with his honor, that he forgot, or at least he stopped being careful. He stopped being full of care. And isn't that the danger that we sometimes face too? Even those of us who are the people of God. We can become so preoccupied with our lives, so preoccupied with our own commitments that we just stop being careful. And when we stop being careful, then we stop being human. When we stop being careful, we start doing monstrous things. And we forget the ways of God. And we forget what it means to really live. Last week, the Attorney General of Pennsylvania shared a report from a grand jury of abuse has taken place for over 7 decades. Over 1,000 people, most of them children, who had been molested and abused by over 300 priests. This abuse, again, takes place not in some arm of government, but in the church. The very people who were there to proclaim the goodness of God. Imagine sending your little one to church, your little one to Sunday school. Imagine sending your little one to the house of God, thinking that they're going to be in good care, and to have them to be molested by the very people who speak in the name of God. It's what happens whenever we stop being careful. It's what happens whenever an institution stops being full of care, stops being attentive to the people that they are supposed to care about. And so this institution that purports to love God and care about God and to love God's people becomes the very institution that begins to molest and abuse the most innocent of people, children. Children bought into their midst. It is a horrible, horrible story, a horrible indictment of the way that lust and greed and uncaring crowded out any genuine concern for the ways of God and for the people whom they should have been protecting. Perhaps we Protestants congratulate ourselves that something so sinister has not happened on a wide scale in our ranks. But we need to remember that we have our own blindness. Like Solomon, we too are often careless. We too sometimes allow our own blindness to cause us to be less than caring for the ways of God and less than caring for those whom we too are charged to protect and to look out for and to proclaim the goodness of God. One of the temptations for many of us is our greed and our wealth. We believe in wealth. We believe in money. We believe in that. And we believe in it so much that we sometimes close our own eyes to people who have great wealth. If you have great wealth, we believe that's a blessing from God. And if you have great wealth, then we'll close our eyes to all the other things that you do. Because we believe in money and we believe in wealth. But those are the very things that sometimes cause us to be less than careful, cause us to stop having a discerning and listening heart, cause us to abuse and ignore and overlook the suffering and pain of others. And that's why Paul tells us to be careful. Be careful how you live. Don't live foolishly. Keep before you the ways of God. Keep before you the things of God. And the ways of God is always about having a heart of attentiveness and concern for others, including oneself, to do the kinds of things which strengthen our commitment to God and our commitment to one another. Be careful how you live. Don't become so intoxicated with things, so intoxicated with position, so intoxicated with money that we become cold and uncaring towards the things of God. The good news in all of this, of course, is that God has sent us all another king. A king that truly walks in the ways of God. A king who is truly careful in how he lived his life and how he loves each and every one of us. A king who is full of care for me and for you and for everyone. A king who showed how full of care he was by dying for each and every one of us. Paul reminds us to walk in his path, to walk in his way, to be filled with care, to be careful how we walk. Because if we are careful how we walk, if we walk in the way of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we proclaim the goodness of God, not simply in our official proclamations or our doctrinal statements, but we proclaim the goodness of God in how we actually treat one another, including those who are the most vulnerable in our midst. Be careful how you live. Be careful what you take into your heart. Be careful what you give yourself over to. Be careful to walk in the ways of love, because that's the way that is redeeming. Redeeming to ourselves and redeeming to others. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you this morning because you have given us everything. You've given us wisdom. You've given us life. You've given us blessings upon blessings. You've shown us that you are the God who has all of our lives in your hands. And we acknowledge that. But sometimes we find it so easy to walk in other ways. We find it so easy to embrace the idols of this world. We find it so easy to be cold and careless and hard, preoccupied with our own lives, our own comfort, our own wealth. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to live as your people. Help us to be people who love one another, embrace one another, edify one another, build one another up, so that we might be that beloved community of people that you have called all of us to be. We ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.